please turn to page 174 in the New Testament for our second scripture reading? I'll give you a moment. It's my second service. I'm still getting used to the microphone. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. May the Lord add a blessing through the reading of his word. So I titled my message this morning, "And I'll Form the Head." There's a reason why I did that, but we'll get to that a little later. So I know we're in the midst of this Summer of Seuss series, but I'm not going to talk about Dr. Seuss or any of those wonderful stories from our childhood. Instead, I'm going to talk to you about something else from my childhood. I was born in September of 79, which means I grew up in the 80s, which also means that my childhood was full of great action cartoons. I remember watching classics like Transformers, G.I. Joe, and He-Man. They helped to create my love of superheroes and science fiction. I almost wore a superhero tie this morning, just so you know. As I grew older, that love of action cartoons and heroes stayed with me. As I matured, the way I started to think about what I watched changed. I started to find deeper meaning in what was happening on the screen in front of me. There were valuable lessons sprinkled throughout them. One lesson I learned that has become a central part of my leadership style came from a cartoon. When I was in college, and yes, I was watching cartoons in college. I was also watching them yesterday, so don't judge me. When I was in college, I was watching a cartoon called Transformers Beast Wars, and the leader of the good guys was named Optimus Primal, and he said, "As your leader, I would never ask you to do something that I was unwilling to do myself." That stuck with me from a cartoon. That little tidbit tempered the way that I have led people in various places. I was a drum major in high school and in college. I've been a teacher. I've had several positions of leadership, and this quote from a cartoon has influenced me in such a big way. Now, most of the lessons you learn in these cartoons were put there intentionally. Some of you may remember the public service announcements at the end of G.I. Joe cartoon. "And now I know, and knowing's half the battle, G.I. Joe." I might have some fun with the sermon today. But there are some lessons in cartoons that I don't believe were put there intentionally. Now, when I was in seminary, I started to understand that you can find the gospel message anywhere. The Holy Spirit dwells within all of creation, so it would make sense that anywhere in creation you can find God's word, even a cartoon. So with that said, today I want to talk about a spiritual concept seen through the lens of a children's cartoon. So one of my favorite cartoons growing up was called Voltron. Some of you may remember it. Voltron was a show about five young people who defend the universe by piloting five gigantic robot lions But the thing that made Voltron so special was that these five lions could combine and form a super robot named Voltron. It's not super creative. It was always Voltron who would save the day. The five lions individually were never enough. It wasn't until they came together that their full potential was unlocked. So that's what I want to focus on this morning. The coming together to unlock the full potential. I want to talk about unity, specifically unity in Christ. So unity is one of those things that's stressed all throughout the Bible. The Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, epistles, letters, wherever you look, you can find a call to unity. So why is unity so important? I mean, God made us all different and distinct. We look different, we act different, we value different things. It's easy to see by looking at God's creation that God loves diversity. So why make unity so important? I thought about it, and I did some research and some prayer and some soul searching, and I think I came up with a couple of ideas why. First of all, I think that unity is a way that we can see if we are following the greatest commandment. Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, it is to love God with all your heart, your soul, and all your mind, and another like it, to love your neighbors as you love yourself. They're connected. I believe that these three loves are connected in such a way that if you're not doing one of them, you're not actually doing any of them. You're not loving your neighbor. How can you be loving to God? If you aren't loving yourself, how can you love your neighbor? If you don't love God, how can you love your neighbor or yourself? You aren't doing all three. You aren't doing one. So working together in unity, regardless of whether or not you're friends or enemies or family or strangers, is a clear example of how we can love our neighbor. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not talking that this kind of unity will be people holding hands singing Kumbaya under a rainbow. Unity is a product of love, which is not always easy. You have to love those people that get on your last nerve. I used to be a teacher. I had to love those kids. We have differences of opinions. We bicker, we fight, we squabble. But even through all that, we can still love each other and understand that we are connected and unified through Christ. This working together, despite our differences, is an important part of the Voltron cartoon. Like I said earlier, Voltron is controlled by five young people who are referred to as the Voltron Force. They are a diverse group of people who have their own way of seeing and interacting in the world. Male, female, some are older, some are younger. They're all mostly in their teens. One's like an alien. It's a cartoon. But put that all together, you have a volatile mix. There have been episodes when the members of the Voltron Force have gotten into fights. They were angry with each other. They stormed off. They threw temper tantrums. But they were always able to look past that to see the greater good and that they were better off working in harmony. Just like them, we are called to be united in spite of the issues we may have with others. They are united as Voltron. We are united in Christ. Another reason why unity is so important can be summed up in one simple phrase. United we stand, divided we fall. There is strength in numbers as long as those numbers want the same thing and can work together. We Christians, the body of Christ, around the globe basically want the same thing. We want to be pleasing to God by being obedient and spreading the love of Christ as far and wide as we can. The problem is we can't seem to get along. We get so caught up in small stuff that we forget that we're really all parts of the same whole. We look for reasons to justify unforgiveness or our lovelessness or a general meanness instead of seeing opportunities to show grace. We focus on who is more right and not who is more loving. And this happens even amongst our fellow Christians. So think about this. Outside of these doors, outside of these walls, there is a generation of people who are unchurched. And a generation. And it has nothing to do with whether or not they believe Christ. It has to do with what they see when they look in those doors. And they see us at each other's throat. They don't come because of the way we treat each other. Think of the impact a global united movement of Christians could have on things like homelessness, starvation, poverty. Imagine how much good the body of Christ could be doing in the world, or at home, or anywhere. If we could just remember that we are truly connected, unified parts of the same body. It's the same way with Voltron. The individual lines are quite powerful alone, but that power pales in comparison to when they are united. Which brings me to my last point. Growing up, and still today, one of my favorite things about Voltron was the way the five lines would combine. I'm getting excited. This is like my favorite part. There was this sequence that they would show each time that they came together. And the part that would get me so excited was the dialogue. And it was all said by the character Keith, who was a leader of the Voltron force. Now, I could say it all. I could act it out even. But instead, I found a clip to show you.
Ready to form Voltron. Activate interlock. Dynatherms connected. Infracell up. Mega thrusters are go.
Go Voltron Force!
I'm still like geeking out right now. Like, I get really excited every time I see that. Like, the music is riveting. It's my alarm on my phone. Like, my wife and I wake up to Voltron every day. Just so I get excited and I love it. I love the dialogue. Form feet and legs. Form arms and body. And I'll form the head. It was so dramatic, so powerful. Back when I first started to realize that gospel messages can be found all throughout creation, this dialogue took on new meaning. You see, I started to envision the body of Christ like Voltron. We are all separate, individual parts that come together, combine, and unify. And instead of Keith giving the commands, it was Jesus who would say, "And I'll form the head." Which, of course, is where I got my message from. See, let's work that in there. The thought of that got me so excited. Until I realized that's not how we function. We function. You see, I have noticed it is more along the lines of what Paul described in our scripture reading. In verse 15, he starts by saying, "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." Continuing to verse 16. "And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." To me, it's like the foot or the ear is saying, if I can't be a better, more important part, then I'm not really a part of the body anyway. What I see members of the body of Christ saying is, if I'm not the head, I'm not really part of the body. so I might as well not even be involved. We start to act like children who don't get their way. We won't take our ball and go home. Now, I don't want you to miss what I'm saying. This desire to be the head happens across Christianity on every level. Different denominations fight with each other and bicker. They won't worship together, won't do missional work together, won't recognize the authority of another denomination's clergy, or in some cases, won't even partake in Holy Communion together. Why is this? I think it's because those in power have decided that they should form the head instead of Jesus. They decided that it was their job to be in control of a body, really not even theirs. We are the body of Christ, not the body of insert denomination. I think that this is another reason why people are leaving the church in droves. They came to learn about Jesus and not why this group is better than this group. We're closer to Jesus than they are. You want to stick with us? And that's not where it stops. The pattern plays out on every level of our Christian lives, from Christianity as a whole, to denominations, to regions, to individual churches, to small groups in those churches, and at all levels in between. Whenever the members of the body come together, there is an opportunity to form Voltron. But no matter what the level, what size, we must remember that it must be Christ who forms the head. Let me use a more personal example. I am the director of youth in this church. I used to think of the youth group as my Voltron. I formed the head. I tried to do everything. I was reluctant to even ask for help, and the youth group started to feel like an isolated island in the church. Why? Because through meetings with staff, through prayer, through reflection, I realized that the youth group is a small Voltron. It's a piece of the body of Christ, and as such, I am not the head. Christ is. I don't have to run this alone. When I realized and acknowledged that Jesus was the true head of the youth, I saw that he had placed numerous people in my path to help with the youth so that I could utilize them and their gifts, and it was okay to do that. It also freed me to utilize my particular gifts with the youth. That freedom is also something that Paul wrote about. Verse 17 of our scripture reading says, "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But the fact that God has placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wants them to be." To me, that means, me personally, that means that God created me with my specific strengths and weaknesses, skills and deficits for a purpose. I am not a very good administrator. Paperwork? Terrifying. But I'm good at other things. But I have allowed myself to work with people that are good at that. And the youth group flourishes now. Because we formed Voltron the right way. If God created me to be an ear or a foot, then the whole body benefits from what I bring as an ear or a foot. Not only am I free to do what I was created to do as an ear or a foot, I understand that what I do is of great value to the whole body. Let somebody cut off your foot and see how everything else works. And this freedom is available to all of us. So friends, we are parts of the body of Christ. We each have various strengths and skills that are needed in this body. So knowing this, let's form Voltron. But don't forget who forms the head. Amen.